From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Wednesday, March 20th, and here are today's headlines. The Senate has rejected a plan to ban cell phones in Vermont schools, but is calling on the Agency of Education to draft a model policy that schools might consider using in the future. The original bill would have stopped students from using cell phones during the day at school because of concerns over student access to various social media platforms. But questions were raised about adopting a statewide policy when individual schools already have the authority to issue their own local ban. Addison Senator Ruth Hardy told her colleagues a statewide ban would be a mistake.
So to ban that from a lot of classrooms, particularly at the secondary level, I think is problematic. So I hope that we will preserve the ability of schools to use cell phones as an educational tool.
The legislation will now be considered in the House. The Senate did, however, unanimously pass legislation yesterday that provides privacy rights for children who use social media platforms. The bill calls for tech companies to provide the highest privacy settings for young users, and it bans them from selling kids' personal information. Chittenden Senator Keisha Ram Hinsdale is the lead sponsor of the bill. She says a number of social media companies engage in activities that harm kids.
Track what they search for, track who they talk to, track where they go throughout the day, and use all of that information to further harm, coerce, and cause distress to our children.
If enacted into law, it's likely the bill will face legal challenges. A spokesperson for a tech trade group recently told Vermont Public the legislation, quote, violates free speech rights protected by the First Amendment. Law enforcement officials are offering a $40,000 reward for information leading to the recovery of Breonna Maitland, who went missing 20 years ago yesterday. The new reward is being provided by the FBI. At a press conference Tuesday, state and federal law enforcement officials said they hoped the reward would bring new leads to the two-decades-old case. Colonel Matthew Birmingham is director of the Vermont State Police.
If you have even the slightest piece of information that you think might be relevant, please call the FBI or the Vermont State Police tip lines.
Maitland was last seen 20 years ago leaving her job at the Black Lantern Inn in Montgomery. Her car was found at an abandoned farm about a mile from the restaurant. She was 17 at the time of her disappearance. The global consumer goods giant Unilever announced yesterday it would divest itself of its ice cream division, including the iconic Vermont brand Ben & Jerry's. As part of its restructuring, the company is also cutting about 7,500 jobs. The eliminated positions will be, quote, predominantly office-based roles, the company said in a statement. As of Tuesday afternoon, it was unknown how many Vermont-based employees could be impacted. Unilever bought Ben & Jerry's in 2000 for $326 million. As part of the unusual deal, the ice cream maker was able to retain an independent board of directors. That arrangement allowed Ben & Jerry's to continue taking progressive stances on hot-button issues, which occasionally brought the ice cream maker into conflict with its parent company. Yesterday was the first official day of spring. But after a particularly mild and erratic winter, many Vermonters are finding themselves less eager for the change of seasons than in years past. Vermont State climatologist Leslie Ann Dupini-Giroux says the record-setting warm temperatures were caused by both climate change and El Niño.
El Niño usually peaks in December and then sort of tapers off from there. But what's interesting is that it continues to be strong, right? Mm-hmm. It's in that moderate to strong category right now. So we've got a very, very strong El Niño on top of our changing climate, which then sets up fewer chances of having a lot of snowfall.
Many Vermont communities experienced their warmest winters on record this year, including Burlington, St. Johnsbury, and Woodstock. Coming up, Vermont public safety officials hope the traffic snarls that accompanied the Phish concerts in Coventry 2 decades ago don't happen again when thousands of tourists visit for next month's total solar eclipse. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to VITA for their support. VITA, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit VEDA.org to start your next chapter.
When the band Phish held a weekend festival in the Northeast Kingdom about 20 years ago, the traffic got so bad that people parked on Interstate 91, and the band asked its fans to turn around and go home. Vermont could get more than 100,000 visitors next month for the total solar eclipse. And as Vermont Public's Howard Weiss-Tisman explains, state officials are hoping for a much better outcome.
It's not often that Vermont has a special event that brings tens of thousands of people to the state. But about 20 years ago, that's exactly what happened. On August 14th and 15th, 2004, the band Phish held what they said was going to be their final concerts ever in the tiny Orleans County town of Coventry. The band had been together for about 20 years, and these final shows were billed as a once-in-a-lifetime event, kind of like a total solar eclipse. It was something that, if you missed it, it wasn't going to come around again. Coventry had about 1,000 residents at the time, and an estimated 68,000 showed up for the concerts. And as Matt Maxwell remembers, things did not go as planned.
You had people wandering all over the Northeast Kingdom from the coming down from the highways on foot, and you know, trying to get here to this farm. So yeah, it did not go well.
Maxwell's family runs an 800 cow dairy farm in Coventry, and they rented some of their land to Phish for the concert. The plan, as Maxwell remembers it, was to use some of the surrounding fields for parking. But Vermont got pounded by a tropical storm in the days leading up to the event, and the fields were a muddy mess. Even before the band hit the stage Saturday night, there was nowhere to put the cars. Traffic backed up 30 miles on I-91, and Maxwell says a lot of the Phish fans abandoned their vehicles on the highway and walked in to see the shows.
You know, you had cars coming from all over the country, and people that live in Vermont, they know what it's like to drive in mud, and they'll have, you know, the right kind of vehicle and the right kind of tires. Some of those people have never, you know, they've only driven on tar their whole life, so they don't know what it's like in a, you know, sort of a country setting when you're driving on mud and wet grass and stuff like that.
It was a mess.
Judy Huzzy was at the show, and she still lives in Coventry. She says it wasn't just the band's music that left an impression on her town. The traffic, the mud, the crowds, it's something that's a part of Coventry's identity at this point.
The traffic was lined up 91. Yeah, it was an adventure. It was exciting. It was something we still speak about years later.
Coventry is in the path of the total solar eclipse, and the viewing here will be as good as anywhere else in Vermont. It probably won't be Phish's final concert busy, but there could be some traffic as folks make their way to Jay Peak or other advertised public viewing sites. Huzzy says she's got her glasses and will watch from home. She's not concerned about the traffic and crowds this time.
No, I'm not worried about it. Hey, we handle Phish, we can handle the eclipse.
The upcoming total solar eclipse is happening April 8th, and it could be muddy again here in Vermont. Or we could have snow and ice on the back roads as thousands of out-of-state visitors try to get to their solar eclipse watching sites. Eric Forand, who is director of Vermont Emergency Management, says the state is doing its best to prepare for all of it.
Yes, it's a significant event. Everyone in the past seems to equate it to the Phish events in Coventry where cars got abandoned. So it's not that, because it's not a specific one site. But there is the potential that if individuals weren't prepared enough and they were on the highway when this thing happens, that they stop their cars and get out and look. You know, that's dangerous. So we're just trying to ensure public safety, and they have a plan for what's going to happen so they don't get in any trouble.
Forand says there's been a lot of planning among local and state law enforcement and transportation departments, and some towns are taking part in biweekly preparation meetings. The state will open the Emergency Operations Center on Eclipse Day to coordinate the response. And Forand says that while a lot of planning is going into the time leading up to the celestial event, the big test will come when the eclipse is over and everyone tries to get back on the highway and head home. Because, Forand says, Vermont wasn't really made for this.
There was no expectation when 89 and 91 were built to have 150,000 people in one day on it. So there will be some backups.
Christina Maddox, who now lives in Manchester, remembers the Coventry Fish Show fondly. The 10-hour traffic wait, the mud, the bittersweet realization that you are living through history and seeing something you'd never see again, all of it brings back sweet memories of a simpler time in her life.
I was 21. I just graduated college. I was psyched. I was really looking forward to it and, of course, thinking, yeah, it's going to be this monumental thing, this one final festival. And so there was that, like, holding your breath kind of moment.
Maddox still sees fish occasionally, though life has changed. She's got 3 kids now, a professional job, a home. She says she'll avoid the crowds and possible traffic jams this time around and watch the eclipse with her family from their backyard.
It's nice to experience those types of moments with the people around you that you care about. You know, I was at the festival with a bunch of friends. I'll be at the eclipse with, you know, my husband and my kids, and it'll be nice.
So if you want to experience the eclipse on April 8th, you won't need a festival ticket, but make a plan. Figure out where you want to be, get there early, and get a hold of some eclipse glasses. And have a good show. For Vermont Public, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman in Coventry.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, Liam Elder Connors, Lola Dufour, and Michaela Lafrac. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.
Every episode of Brave Little State begins with a question about Vermont that's been submitted and voted on by listeners like you. What happened to all the restaurant workers? What's the deal with Vermont's fire towers? Why do people like the band Fish? Follow Brave Little State wherever you get podcasts. From Vermont Public, part of the NPR network.